Easy bueno, easy to learn for English speakers. Kumusta everyone? In this episode, we are going to talk about whether Cebuano is easy to learn for English speakers, what are the aspects that makes it difficult to learn Cebuano language, and which language speakers will have the most advantage in learning Cebuano language.
If you like my content, please do support my podcast. You can send in any donation to my Patreon or buy me a coffee on the link in the description box. I don't earn from making contents for my podcast since I don't have any sponsors whatsoever. So any donation is highly appreciated. You can also support my podcast by buying my book on Amazon called Simplified Davao Cebuano Grammar Book. It will be helpful in your study. Or you can also set a schedule to have a one-on-one lesson with me online. Just send me a message through the email in the description box. Thank you again for listening, and back to our regular scheduled program.
Everyone, kumusta? Welcome back to my podcast. It's been a while since I've uploaded anything. I think the last time I uploaded an episode was probably last December. Yeah. But I'm back. I'm definitely going to upload more soon. My plan is to break down common phrases, common sentences used in actual Cebuano conversation, and we're going to break down their grammatical the grammatical or structural aspect of such phrases. So, but right now I'm back, and we're gonna talk about what I've discussed earlier in the introduction. This isn't going to be a long episode. I'm just going to discuss whether Cebuano is difficult to learn for English speakers. Why is it difficult to learn for English speakers? And which major language speakers can learn Cebuano easier than any other major language speakers out there? All right, so to answer the question, is Cebuano easy to learn for English native speakers? The answer is most probably no. I say most probably because there are some native speakers out there that have second language or that they grew up learning another language throughout the years. Those who doesn't speak any other language aside from English, you will have difficulty learning Cebuano, and there is a very good reason for that. You see, learning another language is highly affected by your first language, your first tongue. The more different your first language is to the target language you want to learn, the more difficult it is to understand. At the same time, the closer the first language is to the language you want to learn, the more you'll have difficulty disassociating your first language with the target language. Because of this, your language output for the target language, in this case Cebuano, will be highly influenced by your first language. Because you'll have a difficult time compartmentalizing different vocabulary, grammar rules and concepts away from your native language, because they are too different. They are too similar. So you will have difficulty disassociating different concepts, and you're gonna have a problem with that later on. This is why so many Cebuano speakers have problems speaking like native Tagalog or Filipino speakers. The same way for Tagalog speakers trying to speak Cebuano. It takes more time and practice for them to master the language despite having enough exposure to it. Unless, of course, an intervention from a language teacher is applied to help the brain create a different neural path for such new language, and not mainly use the existing neural path for one's first language as a mean to access the new language. This is why language learning is very important to the aging population to help their brain create more neural paths and avoid mental degenerative diseases. When we learn a new language, our brain uses the existing language neural path from old languages we know to make way for the new neural path in order to compartmentalize the concepts of the target language. So when the target language, such as Cebuano, is too different from your primary language, such as English, it will be very difficult to associate anything that you know about your primary language to anything that you try to learn about the target language, which in this case, Cebuano. So when a brain finds it difficult to associate concepts and meanings together from the primary language to the target language, it will need more time to create new neural paths. When there are no new neural paths for the new words or concepts you learn, anything that you will learn will stay in the short-term memory and will not be able to move to the long-term memory because it doesn't know where it will go. It doesn't have any idea where it should be placed in your brain because there's already like spots on your primary language that is being occupied. So when there is no neural path, it doesn't know where to go and it cannot stick on the compartment that has already information in it. It has to be a clear slate. Since there is no pathways to associate with it, it's hard to move it from short-term memory to long-term memory. On the other hand, if the two languages are too similar to each other, the brain will not make further neural paths for the new language because it will keep using the old neural paths from your primary language, which will cause interference and confusion. Why? Because it's hard to keep so many similar information in one compartment. Does that mean that you won't be able to learn Cebuano as an English speaker or speaker of language very similar to Cebuano? The answer to that is no. You will still be able to learn Cebuano even if your language is too different or too similar with Cebuano. There are only two things you need to, you know, you need for that to work. Number one, you need someone to teach you the similarities and differences of the two languages. There should be contrasting information. You need to have a visual understanding of the contrasting and the similarities of the two languages, your primary language and your target language. Otherwise, you won't be able to tell the difference between the two, especially if they are too similar or too different from each other. You won't be able to connect the dots and associate and deassociate information from what you already know. Number two, you need time to let your brain process the information, absorb everything, and that takes time. So give yourself time to process everything you are learning. Don't rush it. But the problem is that if you are trying to learn the language in a natural way, in the natural method, which is the think and swim method, when I say sink and swim method, that would mean like you would immerse yourself directly to the speaking community without background, without any kind of, you know, understanding of how the language works. It's going to be even more difficult for you because it's hard for you to contrast this information. It's hard for you to associate and contrast this information that you try to absorb in the community, in the speaking community. You're just there. If you notice, if you go to a speaking community, you can pick up some few words, but it doesn't stick very easily unless you do something about it, unless you really apply it in your daily life. So it's not going to work out very easily because there's no one guiding you on how things work in this language. Number three, you need constant exposure to the target language to get used to the information you are trying to acquire and eventually find a way to associate concepts to the ones you know. The more exposure you have, the more you'll have the feel for the language and apply the information you absorb. So it's not just about like trying to contrast and learn the differences and similarities of the language that you're from your primary language to the target language you're trying to learn. It's also about exposure. You need to have a good feel with the language. once you understand the similarities and differences of the concepts and meanings and stuff like that, and the structure of the language you're trying to learn from the language you know, you need to have a constant exposure, because language is more like about feeling. It has to do with your feeling. Your brain is associated with how you feel. That's why when we speak, we say we are expressing ourselves, because it's how we feel. We say based on how we feel and how we think. They're always connected to each other. So that's why you need a lot of exposure to the language. Do you need to have a conversation with a native speaker? No, you don't have to. You just need an opportunity to listen to native speakers speak. That's the first thing you need to look for, like an opportunity to listen. So it's very helpful to find content online where you can, you know, if you don't have friends who speak Cebuano, and most of the time Cebuano speakers are very, Filipinos are very accommodating. So even though you tell them that, oh, I want to learn Cebuano, or I want to learn Filipino, so could you just say things in Filipino so I could get used to it? They're going to try, even if you tell them that, they're going to try to accommodate to you and speak English all the time, which is not going to be helpful for you. So you will have to actively look for those opportunities to find an exposure to the language. Again, you don't need to be able to speak the language. You don't need to have like an actual interaction with the language speaker. You just need to be able to listen to them and absorb everything that they are, you know, that you are exposed to. And of course, you can learn it in the natural, like I said, you can learn the language in a natural way, but it's going to take so much more time. It's going to be much, much longer than having someone teach you. You have to remember that no language has the same exact concept, nor too dissimilar from each other. All languages also don't have the same amount of information as the other. There will always be a way to associate and compartmentalize the concepts from your first language to the target language. It's just a matter of time and exposure. Again, the farther and the closer the similarities of both languages, the harder it is to learn. Both the first language and the target language must have an ideal distance for it to become easy to learn. Now, what makes Cebuano difficult to learn for English native speakers? Cebuano is very difficult to learn for English native speakers because of these grammatical functions. Number one, the particles. The English language rarely uses particles in sentences. In fact, you barely see them in a long utterance. On the other hand, particles are all over Cebuano sentences and utterances. Cebuano is bombarded with particles, so much more than Japanese language. You think that Japanese is like, oh, it's very difficult to learn Japanese, the spoken Japanese, because, you know, you have to use the proper particles for, you know, when you're constructing a sentence. But it's actually even more difficult in Cebuano, because it has more flexibility into it. You know, to a point where more our attitude and our emotions as a Cebuano speaker is expressed through different individual and combinations of particles. So we have four different types of particles. We have the markers, will tell you which of the sentence is the object or the subject of the sentence. The other one is the linking particles. So the linking particles links two words in one phrase. And that's very commonly used in Cebuano sentences and Cebuano phrases. The next one is the clatic particle, which are some grammatical particles that you attach. They don't have any meaning. It doesn't affect the meaning whether you have them or not, but it makes a difference when you use them. It makes you sound more like a native speaker if you use properly the clatic particles. Next. The most difficult particle to learn in Cebuano is actually the attitudinal particle. Why? I would call them a pseudo-lexical particle because they don't have meaning on their own. If you encounter an attitudinal particle, they don't really have like a constant meaning that would like stick to it. Like for example, like when you say book, we know what a book is. There is a constant meaning for the word book. It is like a bind sheets of paper that has information in it. That's a book, right? That's constant wherever you go, whatever culture you have. If you say book, people know what a book is. There is a constant understanding of what a book is. Attitudinal particles don't have that kind of thing. Like, they don't have a constant meaning. That's why I would call them pseudo-lexical particle, because they still hold a meaning, but it's not constant. It's not always the same. So depending on your mood, depending on what sentence you make, depending on like how you put them together, attitudinal particles expresses the feeling, the mood of the speaker. So it always changes. It changes a lot. And that's what makes it even more difficult for non-native speakers, because in English, you don't have attitudinal particles. When you say things, everything is affected by there's a lot of inflections going on in an English sentence that expresses expresses emotions and feelings. Even if it's written, you can easily tell the emotion of a person, right? But in Cebuano, because the simple structures of Cebuano language doesn't have this leeway to express your emotions, so we put them into words instead, which is the attitudinal particle. A Cebuano sentence can have a series of five to eight particles next to each other in one go. And sometimes it's hard to tell whether you should treat some of those particles as a group or individually, since group particles can have very different meaning compared to individual particles. So that's one of the most difficult part of learning Cebuano, because you don't have this in English. That's why it's very difficult for English native speakers to learn Cebuano. Next is the sentence structure. In English, the sentence structure is very precise. It's always the same. It's always in a subject, verb, object structure. We have the subject, the verb, and the object. So for example, she is beautiful, right? So she here is the subject, verb, the verb here is, and then the object is beautiful, right? So she is beautiful. It's a subject, object structure. And this structure is followed through and through in different types of utterances and sentences. It's always true whether it's passive or active sentences. You still have to follow this structure. And all words in English are connected through a series of patterns based on the phrase structure rules of the English language. For example, you have to follow a certain set of rules, and you cannot rearrange those phrases. Otherwise, you're going to have not only that it will not sound natural, it will also change the meaning, the entire meaning of the sentence. It could become ambiguous. So you don't really rearrange words in Cebuano, but I mean in English, but in Cebuano, it's very different. All parts of the sentence in English are predicated by another part of word or phrase. They're like chains. Everything is connected. They're like, you know, everything is predicated by one another. In short, every word in an English sentence are connected to each other by predication and subordination. It's like a chain collecting all words to form a thought. Cebuano doesn't work that way at all. Cebuano sentences has a variety of sentence structures to follow depending on your intention and what you want to emphasize on the sentence. So much different from the English language. You don't really like, you can't just rearrange everything in English. You still have to, even if you want to rearrange everything, you still have to follow the SVO, subject, verb, object structure. In Cebuano, we don't do that. We have different structures. We have at least four basic sentence structures to follow in Cebuano. That is why what I do in my lesson is that I train your brain to get used to switching between English and Cebuano sentences using translation method. This way, you can map out Cebuano sentence structures by comparing it to English sentences. It is also a great way to understand the behavior of Cebuano sentences by analyzing how the words are put together. You can rearrange words, you can rearrange phrases in Cebuano sentences for however you want, as long as you still follow the basic construct of a Cebuano sentence. It still makes sense. Right, so that's for the sentence structure. Number four is the pronunciation. Cebuano has probably one of the most simplified sounds in most languages. It's very simplified. It's so simple that English speakers find it difficult to pronounce words and phonemes because of the complex sounds used in the English language. In English, you could have like three A sounds. You have two I sounds. We have the barred I and then the dotted I. And then for O, we have the open O and then we have the closed O, right? Like O and O. And then we have the, for U sounds, we have the hook and unhook U sounds. So those kind of like complexities on pronunciation can affect learning Cebuano because you're too used to complex pronunciation. You're not used, you're, it's difficult for you to make it simple. You know what I mean? Like your brain is too used to like complex stuff. When it comes to simple stuff, you become like you find it really difficult to adjust to simple stuff. So it's the same thing. English speakers are so used to complex pronunciation, it's hard to adjust to simple pronunciation. And aside from that, Cebuano is very glottal, that it sometimes sounds like a little bit of a harsh language, very opposite to English, which is highly melodic and fluid. Like when I say things in English, it sounds like I'm like singing. Like there is a flow to follow, and then you can pronounce words or you can make an utterance in just one breath. But in Cebuano, there's a lot of glottal catches, and it's not just about like simple glottal catches. We have like, if you go back to our episodes on Cebuano vowels, I talked about short vowels, which has like a very strong catch, glottal catches on them, and it's very prominent in all Cebuano sentences. And because of that, because you don't have that kind of, as an English speaker, you find it very difficult to have like to catch those glottal catches in a subtle way, in a, because in a rapid conversation, sometimes those the strong glottal catches can be difficult to notice because it's so fast. Even though the Cebuano language is very highly syllabic, it means that everything is pronounced by syllable, in by individual syllable, and sometimes the distinction between each syllable is very, very prominent because of the glottal catches. It in a rapid speech, sometimes it's that's lower down, you know what I mean? Like it's not very obvious, even though it's very, it's there. So it can really affect your understanding with the language because how do you know when to like whether this word is part of this syllable is part of this word or whether this phrase is part of this of this other word or whether this word is part of this phrase because the distinction between the pronunciation can be very difficult. It's hard to what do you call this? To chunk everything into its rightful place. So that's one of the reasons why it's very difficult for English speakers to learn Cebuano. Because of that, it's hard to compartmentalize. It's hard to chunk everything into like its proper location, a proper placing. Right. The last one that makes it difficult for English speakers to learn Cebuano is actually the homonyms. So Cebuano, just like any other Philippine languages, is extremely riddled with homonyms. What is a homonym? Homonym are like words that have the same spelling but different pronunciation, the same pronunciation but different meanings, and so on and so forth. Like there's always like they sound alike, they look alike, but they have different meanings depending on how you use them. And Cebuano are like really good at utilizing words. You can have one word with two meanings, two or more meanings. There's rarely a number of words that have like single meaning into it. Even the particles themselves are not single use. Like for example, particle sa has at least five functions in a sentence. And then particle ang has two functions, particle c as well has two functions, and everything else has at least two functions in them. So imagine having to learn all that. those homonyms all the time. You have to identify whether what this sentence or set words these words mean based on the context that you are in. So you have to have that kind of awareness all the time, which is sometimes difficult in English because for English speakers, because in English it's always like, although English speakers have like idioms and what do you call this? And phrase structure, no, phrasal words like prepositional phrases and phrasal verbs. Even though you have those, it's still very different because they're very specifically used in many contexts. But in Cebuano, formal and non-formal languages still use the same kind of idea, this the same vocabulary, sets of vocabulary, sets of words that have two functions in them. So it's kind of like difficult to understand how it means. Like for example, the particle sa encompasses all the prepositions in the English language. It could mean particle sa could mean in, on, at, by, with, from, to. It could go any direction, and that's what makes it difficult sometimes for an English speaker. So those are the four reasons why what makes it difficult to learn Cebuano for English native speakers. Number one, the particles. Number two, the sentence structures. Number two, the pronunciation. And number four, the homonyms. Right. That said, which language, major language speaker, has the most advantage in learning Cebuano? I think you've been hearing this a lot from me. Every time I try to break down sentences in Cebuano, you would hear me comparing it to Japanese stuff, like Japanese pronunciation, Japanese particles. I do that a lot. The reason for that is because if you are a Japanese speaker, then you're in luck. The closest major language to Cebuano is actually the Japanese language. There are several aspects of the spoken Japanese language that are very similar to Cebuano. Of course, this is only applicable to spoken Japanese and not written Japanese, because the written Japanese has its own rules because it's borrowing from Chinese and has its own like writing system, which are very more it's a lot more complex than Cebuano type of writing. So this is only applicable to spoken Japanese. We still use in Cebuano, we use a lot of although our politeness markers are much less compared to Japanese, but we still use politeness markers as well. There is also a distinction between a formal language, one that is used in churches and actual meetings, on like official meetings or business transactions. We have different use of language for those kind of contexts, and also for like conversational as well. So what makes spoken Japanese very compatible with Cebuano language? Here are several factors for that. Number one, Japanese is somewhat highly syllabic kind of language, where words are segmented by a set of phonemes predetermined by the language, compared to English, where the phonemic sounds vary in some words. For example, in Japanese and Cebuano, we were taught the basic phonemic sounds such as ka, ke, ki, ko, ku. It's standard. The writing system allows us to do that. The old writing system of Cebuano used this kind of like structure to learn the language. We always learn it the in a very syllabic way. Well, in English, you kind of like pronounce each sounds, like the consonants and the vowels, very differently depending on how they are used in English, because English is very homogeneous. No, it's very heterogeneous kind of language. It's mixture of different languages, so different pronunciations is applied to different words. So that's why you really have to watch out in English. That's why it's very complex. In Cebuano, it's very easy. It's even in Japanese, it's very easy to with the pronunciations and all of that. So those phonemes in Cebuano and Japanese are applied religiously to any Japanese and Cebuano words, no matter what level it is. English, on the other hand, don't do that because of all the mixtures that like apply to the language. So that's what makes Japanese a lot easier for Japanese speakers to learn Cebuano. Now, number two is Japanese sentence structure is highly phrasal, meaning that you rearrange phrases in a sentence without affecting too much the meaning of the sentence. In English, you can't just rearrange phrases. I think I mentioned this a while ago. You can't just rearrange phrases in a sentence in English because you have to follow, English follows specific set of rules in forming sentences, which is if rearranged, can't affect the relationship of phrases within a sentence. Because again, English is highly predicated, English sentences, English phrases are highly predicated. It has to be part of, it has to follow another phrase that is predicating. You can't just re-put them in other parts of the sentence. You can't do that unless they work as an independent phrase. And Cebuano has a lot of independent phrases. The same with Japanese, for example. In Japanese, you can separate, you can rearrange some few stuff in Japanese as long as the subject is in the beginning of the sentence and the verb is at the end. As long as you follow that structure, everything inside the verb and the subject of the sentence can be rearranged in any way you like, and it doesn't affect the sentence much. Number three, the Japanese sentence are highly segmented, and each phrase within the sentence are separated when connected using different types of particles. It's the same in Cebuano. This is one of the reasons why you can rearrange anything. There's a lot of parts in a Cebuano sentence and Japanese sentences that you can rearrange when forming a sentence because of this segments, because of this markers that we have to separate each phrase from another. Because of this, Japanese language has more room to move around phrases with sentences within the sentences without changing too much its meaning. This is 100% true as well in Cebuano. Because we have markers in place for each phrase, we know very well which word belongs to that phrase, or you're not mixing it all up. That's why you can rearrange it in any way you like. As long as you still follow the structure, like in Cebuano, that would be VSO or VOS. As long as you're following that, the verb comes first, followed by whatever you follow it with. You can actually do that in Cebuano. You can rearrange everything. The same in Japanese. As long as the subject is in the beginning of the sentence and the verb is at the end, you can put anything in between in there to form a sentence. So it's more flexible compared to English. You can't really do that much in English. Yeah. Right. So Cebuano even has more particles used in sentences compared to Japanese because we use a lot of phrases. So we kind of like use a lot of particles to mark different kind of functions of words and phrases within the sentence so that you'll know the relationship of words and separate them from any other words and phrases within the sentence. This is one of the reasons why Filipinos can easily grasp Japanese grammar because of knowledge in Cebuano or any other Philippine language are transferable. Everything that you know, if you're a Filipino, everything that you know about your language, it's transferable to Japanese language. Whereas anything you know about your native tongue in the Philippines is not transferable to English. Like only a fraction of it is transferable. It doesn't have the same kind of rules, the same kind of ideas. English doesn't operate the same way as Philippine languages. So that's why there's a lot of Filipinos who have like often make mistakes in making utterances. I'm guilty of that. If you notice when I'm making the podcast, you would notice that I always make mistakes because even though I study English, I study English grammar. It's hard for me to like use it properly because it's always there's always an interference of my native language, which is Cebuano, because they're too different from each other. Right, so these are just some few reasons why Japanese speakers have better chances of learning Cebuano faster than the English speakers. So yeah, but if you are an English speaker trying to learn Cebuano, you need to have enough patience to understand how sentences work in Cebuano language. We will also need constant practice and exposure to the language in order to grasp the feel of the Cebuano language better. You can start by observing how words are pronounced in Cebuano, so you can improve your listening skills. The listening skills is one of the important skills that you need to practice all the time when learning Cebuano, because Cebuano is primarily a spoken language. What else? Remember that Cebuano is primarily a spoken language, and thus it's best to learn the sounds before you learn everything else. Not only that, it will help you pick up words better from native speakers, it will also help you recognize phrases and sentences. If you are able to identify words, you will be able to identify phrases. And it's very important that you are able to identify phrases in an utterance or in a Cebuano sentence. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. Yeah, because this is a common mistake. This is a common problem with my students. They don't know how to chunk. Initially, they have problem chunking words together to form a phrase. Like, how do they separate this word from this phrase? They don't understand yet in the beginning, but eventually they get the feel of how it works, because I try to teach them in a way that is like very structured, and it follows the natural way of learning language. Like, you start from the easiest way of understanding the structure and then follow to the most complex part. So when you get to the verb part in my lesson, if you're gonna have my lesson, once we start learning the verb sentences, you will be able to identify words already and phrases within a sentence. It will be easy. You just have to pick and mix and then form a sentence already. So don't forget, if you need help learning Cebuano and you want to learn it the right way, contact me through my email, so we can set you up a schedule at least once a week for 1 or 2 hours at a reasonable price. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to follow the right order of concept development in learning Cebuano language. It is very, very different from English. Yes, it's very different from English. That's why you need to understand how Cebuano phrases work and Cebuano sentences work, so that you can have a better grasp and understanding of how Cebuano language operates. This is very crucial if you want to learn how to make your own sentences in Cebuano language that you can use for an actual conversation. Okay, so good luck sa inyo, ha? And see you again on the next episode.
And that is it for our episode for today. Thank you very much for tuning in our podcast. Make sure to hit that subscribe button to get the latest updates of our podcast. Salamat sa pagpaminaw, ug kita tapuhon. Hamping pirmi. Bye-bye!